Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
KMA Audio Machines' comprehensive range of premium effects pedals are extremely impressive, coupling some of the best-looking graphics and best-sounding circuits with some of the most original reimaginations of classic effects pedals that we've ever seen. From the wild and soaring high-gain distortion of the Worm to the classic ripping fuzz tones of the Fuzzly Bear, Minos and Dead Stag, the swirling phaser of the Astro Spurt, the treble to full-range Stock Her treble booster, the synthy octaves of the Moyai Mayer and the Queequeg, to the incomparably expansive wash of delays and verbs from the Cirrus and the uniquely controlled mid-accentuated drive of the incredibly dynamic Logan. The list is comprehensive, and every pedal offers something original and unique to KMA's penchant for extreme controllability. Available worldwide from leading guitar effects pedal dealers, and for more info, check out kma-machines.com. Guitar Nerds is sponsored by Reverend Guitars, and we are very happy about that because we really love Reverend. Well-built, affordable, unique, extremely cool, retro with modern sensibilities. Recently, we've had a Jetstream 390 and a Greg Koch Gristlemaster sent to us from Merchant City Music in Glasgow, and we've loved them both. The Jetstream is a gorgeous Reverend original jaggedly shaped retro offset with three specially voiced P90 pickups and a deliciously roasted maple neck. The Gristlemaster is an oversized T-style guitar with the incredible sounding Fishman Tele pickups, a Firebird style ramp and a tonal palette so broad you'll never need another guitar. Seriously, their range is massive. Choose from a fantastic spread of bolt-on set necks, basses, and unique signature models. If you love guitars and you love this podcast, then I'm afraid you're going to need one. Check them out at reverendguitars.com. And welcome to the 273rd episode of the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Jay Cross.
Hi, Joe.
Matt Knight.
Hi, Joe.
And Mark Packham.
Hello there.
That's right. Just like Daniel Craig in Casino Royale, we have a full house.
Do you know how Americans say house? His name?
He did have a full house, yes. That is the hand that he beat Mads Mikkelsen. Is it Mads Mikkelsen? Am I saying that right?
Is this spoilers? I'm not into this.
Oh, no. Oh, sorry.
I've not seen honestly. Any of the Daniel Craig Bond films.
Oh, you're missing out. They're really good.
So, there's only like two or three good James Bond films, and no. I'm almost certain that none of those are in that list.
Yeah, they are. All four Daniel Craig ones are great. Daniel Craig is ripped. If you want a hunk in
ripped.
A James
yeah,
Bond
he
movie,
is.
He's the best one. He's the only one who looks like he can win a fight.
No, Timothy Dalton. Absolutely.
Timothy Dalton doesn't look like he can win a fight. Get me wrong. Timothy Dalton is absolutely gorgeous, and I loved him in Flash. But, you know, I think he was a great Bond. He had to play Bond at a really difficult time because sort of I think, you know, at the time, I think the character of Bond, like a promiscuous hero, was a really not okay
kind of story arc.
But that's why he's perfect.
Unlike
for
now.
It. That's well, yeah. Well, that's why he's perfect for it. It's because he's got this like sleazy edge in those films. That they're my favourite two Bond films. I think that those really? Two and GoldenEye, absolute best ones.
Oh, that's rubbish. There's nothing with Pierce Brosnan in that's ever been any good.
Yeah, GoldenEye.
What about Mrs.
Amazing.
Doubtfire?
Oh yeah, that's true. He was great in Mrs. Doubtfire. You're right. He was the defining feature of Mrs.
What about
Doubtfire.
Dante's Peak.
Yeah, I always got that one confused with Twister.
Yeah, both.
I don't know anything about Dante's Peak.
Interchangeable movies for me.
They're imagine sort of Twister, like, Jay, but with a volcano.
With yeah, Pierce Brosnan. It,
yeah. With it's, Pierce Brosnan instead.
How is it interchangeable? How is a movie about a volcano interchangeable with a film called Twister?
Early,
like,
early
what sort
2000s,
of horrifying natural disaster
yeah,
you're expecting?
That's it. Early 2000s natural disaster movies. They're all interchangeable for me.
We were talking about this week, actually. Armageddon and what's the other one? What's the one that isn't Armageddon?
Deep Impact.
Deep Impact. Yeah, they came out at the same time. Like, it's the same movie.
It was not the same movie because Armageddon had Ben Affleck in it.
Which one had Bruce Willis in it?
Yeah, that was also that one. But more importantly, okay. Ben Affleck was in Armageddon.
Right, okay.
So I just
also,
Googled.
There was a really concerning sex scene in Armageddon where Ben Affleck uses an animal cracker as a sort of an aid, as
ooh,
it were.
Careful, that's careful. Yeah, Joe. This is a podcast made by and for children.
Yeah, yeah. So I just Googled Twister, the movie, and the first thing that comes up, Google now show you related films. The films related to Twister are...
Dante's Peak.
Firstly, Twister, which is weird. the Day After Tomorrow, 2012, yeah. Armageddon, yeah. Deep Impact, Perfect Storm, and finally... Dante's Peak.
There we go.
Oh, a wonderful selection of movies.
They came out within 6 months of each other, Dante's Peak and Twister.
Really?
Did they? Right, oh, there okay. you go. That's why they're in interchangeable.
Yeah, when did Armageddon come out? Armageddon and Deep Impact are later, I think.
Yeah,
oh,
definitely
no,
not like
98, right?
All these films, yeah. So Twister is 96, Dante's Peak 97, Deep Impact 98, Armageddon 98.
Now, the thing, I'm so good at
Armageddon,
years.
Armageddon, I don't think you can put it in the same thing because Armageddon's not so much a disaster movie as like a bit of a space movie. And the thing is, the other movies, what they all have in common is
I mean,
that they
it's not
lack
a disaster
an
movie.
A-lister.
Joe,
a disaster
it's called
movie.
Armageddon.
Armageddon out of here.
Okay, you might have a point there.
Let me read the synopsis of you not saying this isn't a disaster film. Right. The film follows a group of blue-collar deep-core drillers sent by NASA to stop a gigantic asteroid on a collision course with Earth.
Okay. Sounds pretty cheery.
All right.
Me.
Okay.
Oh, I suppose the thing is, though, is like the world's a lot more miserable in 2020 than it was in 1998. Like
people just want the asteroid to come and take out the Earth.
This would be a romance if it was released today.
Just several people romancing the asteroid.
Oh dear.
But my point was, disaster movies lack an A-lister normally, with the exception of Armageddon, which of course had several. You got Liv Tyler. You had Ben Affleck, you had Bruce Willis.
What about Pierce Brosnan?
Well,
what
Pierce Brosnan's
World,
not quite an
Tom
A-lister.
Cruise.
I don't think he's quite an A-lister. Pierce Brosnan's like a B-lister, you know? He's, other than the Bond movies, not...
Lawn Merman?
Yeah. That, what?
Movie. I think you're really downplaying...
Merman.
I think you're really
Lawn
downplaying...
Lawn Merman.
Pierce Brosnan? You think I'm downplaying Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah.
Matt is correct. He was in the great film Lawn Merman.
But I
fun
don't
fact
think
about Lawnmower Man. Fun fact about Lawnmower Man. I actually
I preferred Lawnmower
week.
Man 2. That
no,
was a better film.
No, Johnny Mnemonic. That's what I prefer.
Yes, that is a great movie.
Now we're in the weeds. Fun fact about Lawnmower Man that I learned this week is that Stephen King lobbied after Lawnmower Man. So Lawnmower Man is a Stephen King short story, right?
Right.
And after the film Lawnmower Man came out, Stephen King lobbied to have his name removed from it because the film is so different to his book that it doesn't in any way resemble the short story Lawnmower Man by Stephen King. So, yeah, there we go. Wow.
There you go.
I found out a good fact just before we finish this. Yeah. Sir David Attenborough is older than sliced bread.
Wow, that is
quite
something.
That's a good way to end this intro to the podcast.
And that was, yes, that was the intro. And in line, I guess, with the intro, we should introduce our new patrons for this week. Thank you very much, new patrons, for joining us at the various tiers.
This is the sort of content that you're paying for.
You're paying for this. We did this last week as well. We ended up talking about early 2000s movies in some way, shape, or form.
Did we? I don't remember. Basically, as soon as we finish the podcast and I walk out this room, just as soon as I cross the threshold, that's it. My memory, I don't even remember how I met you, fellas. Just gone.
Absolutely. Normally the same. There's a bottle of single malt or to Anschein in between every podcast episode for me. Anyway, introducing our new patrons, I'd like to welcome Simon Francis. Welcome. Thank you for joining us, Simon. And Thai Allen as well for joining us. Or it might be Thai. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to pronounce the TH as a th. But welcome. Welcome at the $10 tier. I guess I'll have to say your name twice until I work out which way to pronounce it, just so that I make sure I'm covering all the bases. But yes,
thank you very much
for joining us. Now this week, obviously the last couple of weeks, we've been Mark Packham-less. And whilst Mark Packham's been away, he has, however, ended up listening to the podcast, which has caused the issue that I think we all had last week, where we all went a bit strapped crazy. And even though you weren't on the podcast, Mark, you in spirit joined us for that.
Yeah, I listened to the podcast and so I've been off for 2 weeks and listened to the podcast, and it was alongside all the stuff we've been doing around the Beatles on the Patreon over the last, month or so, 2 months. I've been like after a blue strat. Because, the Beatles had blue strats and that.
Oh, is that why you wanted one?
Yeah, exactly that. And hearing you guys talk about it on the thing and knowing that Jay's now got one, I was like, do you know what? The world's a crazy place. I'm probably not going to get to go on holiday this year. I'm going to use that cash to buy a new guitar, another new guitar.
Yay!
And I also bought something else, which I'll tell you about in a minute. But the blue
strat.
You already
own a strat.
No, yes, I do, but that spiritually, that guitar belongs to Guitar Nerds, doesn't it? And we should say that, are we edging ever closer to the mod mode?
Edging? We are.
Careful, you'll get them excited.
We're incredibly close at the moment. We're just under the £1,400 mark on our, or dollar mark, rather, on our Patreon at the moment, so we are $100 away from mod mode.
So for people that don't know, something we've been banging on about for a while is doing a series where we take this Squire Strat that I bought a little while ago as one of the FSR Pink Sparkle Squire double humbucker Squire Strats, and we do a series of videos where we upgrade different parts on it and then record the results. And we've joked for a long time about it. If we hit that tier on Patreon, we will actually do it. So that strat spiritually doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Guitar Nerds. And also, it's a two humbucker strat without any mods. Yeah. It's a pretty basic guitar. No, nothing wrong with the two humbucker strat, but I like the idea of being able to like call tap it and stuff. And at the moment, it doesn't do that. So I've bought a strat, which was, it came up and I was like, oh, I remember these. These are really good. And it's blue and it's sort of 60s. So I'm going to buy it. It's an FSR 60s strat. So from the classic series. But the key thing is it's nitro finished.
That's awesome.
It's basically the same as that jazz bass that you still have.
It's my main bass.
Yeah, exactly that. So it's one of those, and it's a nitro finish the way they did them. I don't know if you guys knew this, but they are actually poly bass coat, but then with 5 layers of nitro over the top.
I did not know that. So that will be how my jazz bass has been done as well.
Yeah, exactly that. With the idea being that, the top coat's going to wear in, but you're never going to wear it like through to the wood.
That's how most nitro has been for decades.
In fact,
it's just how like guitars are finished. That's my understanding. Be wrong, but
do you know when that started, Jay? Because I remember my 70s telly that I had 15 years ago or something had exactly that. The black had worn through to a white, what I can only assume was poly base coat. So it'd be interesting to know.
Since like literally the 60s.
Right,
really?
Fine.
Wow.
Yeah, I think so.
It does look great.
About it a little while ago. I can't remember where I read it, but yeah, I'm sure that it's something like in the 60s that happened, but people have just got this idea that nitro is. Yeah, I don't know. I'll see if I can dig out the article, but I read about it somewhere.
So yeah, it's I think it's technically Daphne blue, but in the photos and stuff, it looks more like a Sonic blue, which is kind of actually more I wanted, but we'll see when it gets here. And it's matching headstock as well. So, you know, it doesn't get much cooler than that. So, yeah, looking forward to that arriving.
That is exciting.
I can't believe we're all old and we're all playing Strats. How has this happened? But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. The other thing that I bought, actually away from the guitar world, I bought a Yamaha Reface YC.
Because
I was like, okay, you know, I've got loads of time on my hands at the moment because you can't do anything still, even though the pubs are open. I'm choosing to not really go out too much. So, yeah, I was like, okay, well, I'll learn to play a bit of keyboard. I want something small that fits on my desk, but something with a bit of a... I didn't just want a MIDI controller because I want to be able to like take it in the living room and play on the table in there. So I wanted something with some inbuilt sounds. And generally, keyboards with inbuilt sounds are not fantastic. But Yamaha have done this great series called the Reface series, which has four keyboards in it.
Yeah, four different keyboards, very affordable, like less than £300.
Yeah, I mean, this one I got for much less than £200.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's four keyboards in there, the CS, the DX, the CP, and the YC.
Yeah.
CS is more of a kind of
the
synth
organ.
I believe.
Oh, no, is the CS?
Yes, yeah, CS is the more synthy one. DX is based on the old Yamaha DX. The CP is like the electric piano, and the which is the one I've got, is the organ. The red one, indeed.
That's what. So the drummer in Polymath has one of those on the side of his kit.
Got it. Yeah.
Really good.
So the idea behind it is it's recreating the sounds of kind of classic organs. You've got the drawbars on there. You've got reverb. You've got chorus. You've got vibrato, and a drive sound as well. If you want to make and the reverb is the last thing. So
we actually think that sounds fantastic. Like for the money, the drive and the reverb are great. Those organ sounds. It's so wonderful for like old school rock and roll and you know.
Exactly that. So the sounds that are in there is they just call them by like one letter to kind of mask what they actually are, because I'm sure they can't use the actual names of things. But so you've got H, V, F, A, and Y. I think it's basically Hammond organ, Vox organ, Farfisa. A, I actually don't know what that is. It says a Japanese transistor organ. I think it's...
Some sort of Roland thing, won't it?
No, it's like...
it's an old Ace Tone. Pre-Roland. That was the company that Mr. Kakahashi founded before.
Got it.
Oh, okay.
Got it. And then Y, which is based on a Yamaha YC45D, which is another type of organ.
Can't use that name.
Yeah. I've got no rights in that. But the one that I'm loving is the Hammond sound. And I was just sitting there for, I don't know, probably 2-3 hours last night just... messing around with it, doing kind of Hammond things and adding distortion. My keyboard skills are pretty poor, to be honest.
You don't need keyboard skills for a Hammond. That's the great thing about them. You can just hold those big chords.
Exactly. Hammer it out and then like switch the octave down and then the big bass comes in. And yeah, it's so that was cool, but I've been enjoying that a lot. It's going to be a super musical week.
Awesome.
And in fact, today, actually, just before we're podcasting, I dive a bit more into Studio One. Started to lay out
Persona Studio One, which we spoke about months ago, I guess.
Yeah, started to lay out some drum patterns and stuff. And I'm even maybe thinking about buying some like better drum sounds for it, so I can record some demos for when we can finally get back into a practice room and a studio to actually play with the band.
Mark, remind me next time we see each other in, I don't know, 2024 or something, and I'll I think I've got here one of the Fender pinwheels, the rotary speaker emulator, if you want to give that a go. And there's like
they
a keyboard
very good
impedance input.
Nice. I mean, to be honest, the Reface already has a Leslie simulator on
it. Oh, nice. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and it's got you know, like how keyboards do like pitch modulation on a stick kind of thing. It's got one of those, and I think the settings are fast, slow, stop, and off. So you can just turn it off completely, but you can also sort of jam between slow and fast. It's it's super cool. The whole thing is great, and it's speakers built in as well, and headphone output, and loads of recording outs, and you can USB it and stuff. So yeah, I'm going to just mess around with that really.
Yeah, a wonderful tool. A great purchase.
Sorry, Matty.
Bought a MIDI keyboard this week.
Well, there we go. Yeah, but you're going to be doing like crazy synth sounds. I just want this to knock around like in the living room.
I tell you what, on the sort of thread of Persona Studio 1 and Matt buying a MIDI keyboard and keyboards in general, whilst I do promise, listener, we'll talk about guitars at some point on this podcast, there is a new free VST electric piano out and about at the moment called Cassette Rhodes, which is like a... So it sounds like an electric piano that's been recorded into a crackly old cassette tape.
A cassette tape.
Oh god.
Cassette tape, I think you mean.
Cassette tape. Yes, that is what I was trying to say. So it's a completely free VST, and yeah, it will give you that lo-fi electric keyboard sound. So Matt, very, you know, really worth getting hold of, because I thought it sounded absolutely excellent. Made by Sample Science, who are fantastic VST brand.
I bought mine because I wanted a MIDI controller for my little JU06 Juno keyboard, because that's got MIDI keys. I wanted something with full-size keys, but still was only 25 note. And I was like, wait a second, it's got controller knobs on it and stuff. Sends out MIDI data, could plug it into my pedal board, and then use it to like change parameters on some of my MIDI pedals in real time, while also playing the keyboard.
Yes.
So I'm going to have a little bit of an experiment with that and see if I can use like the mod wheel and stuff to use as like pitch bend on an Eventide while changing the clock speed on a mood while trying to play keyboard and guitar at the same time.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you actually going to use...
I'm never going to gig either, so it doesn't really matter.
Are you going to take the audio from the keyboard and put it through the pedals, or are you going to actually just plug a guitar in at the same time, and then edit the guitar sound while you're playing keyboard?
I thought that because I've got monitors here, I could play keyboard and then just... I've got a bunch of racked effects that I could run the keyboard through and then have my guitar running through a pedal board. It's a ridiculous setup for someone who doesn't leave their bedroom.
No, it's the perfect setup for someone who doesn't leave their bedroom.
Maybe it's a more ridiculous setup for the person who has to share the house with me.
Yeah,
I mean, there's certainly that aspect of it. Yeah,
yeah. But I thought, why not? And actually, as a MIDI controller keyboard, it was £45. So there you go. Wow. Didn't even have to break the bank to control my pedals with my hands when I'm supposed to be playing guitar with my hands.
No one plays guitar anymore, mate.
Nah, so 20.
Speaking of playing guitar, my Strat did actually show up this week. I didn't think it.
Of course, you sent us pictures.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I didn't think it'd be here for another week or so, but yeah, it came really quickly. And I tell you what, position two, that's where the money is.
I was about to ask, really?
Oh,
I was
sorry, position, I didn't. Position two.
I had no idea you were in a funk band, Jay.
Position two. It sounds so good. And I think part of the problem, and also I think I've discovered why I've never owned a Strat before. You know how we kind of always joke about the fact that I've got a very... basically everything I do is very trebly. Like, I talk very trebly. I play guitar very trebly. I play bass very trebly. Like,
you are the physical incarnation of treble, yeah.
I don't understand how I make a guitar sound like that. Like, on my amp, I've got the treble turned basically off and the bass turned basically all the way to the top. And it's ear-piercingly trebly. And I don't understand what it is that I'm doing that makes it sound ear... But it's always been like that. Whenever I was playing guitar in the shop, people knew it was me. Not only because of, you know, the fact that I only know two chords, but also just because I've just got this very distinctive guitar style, which is...
I don't think I've
terrible.
Ever seen anyone strum as hard as you. Every time I see you strum a guitar, I'm concerned the guitar's going to snap. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's a wonderful stylistic thing about J. Cross guitar playing.
But I do play guitar very hard, and same with bass, actually. And maybe that's what it is. But what I found is that if I go into position two, basically that I can make that sound like a bridge pickup for normal people. it's really good. The Strats, very good. This breaking news from Guitar Nerds, Strats are good.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful!
You're in for a treat, Mark. Let me give you a little. Let me give you a little tip. Position two.
I will absolutely never be playing on position two.
Mark's a position three man, right in the middle. the worst position on a Strat.
I just love it. I love that middle pickup on its own. It's my favourite sound.
Oh, dear. Well, Well, my love of Stratocasters was kind of short-lived, and don't get me wrong, I'm still super into them. It's just I started playing this the Reverend Greg Koch Gristlemaster. Gristlemaster again. I started playing that, and it's really good. It's really good because it's just been sitting around, and me and Emma wanted to record a new track over the weekend, like an instrumental synth and guitar thing, and we'd sort of laid down drums. I'd done some samples, she'd done some synth, and we were like, oh yeah, let's put some guitar here. And I just sort of grabbed the nearest thing to me, which was the Gristlemaster, and it was absolutely fantastic. I mean, it was fantastic. And we ended up laying down loads and loads of guitar on the track, and I was just like, oh, everything I do with it sounds absolutely wonderful. And because it was so wonderful, I was like, yeah, I think I need a Telecaster, which is an annoying thing to realize only a month after you've sold your Baja Telecaster. So I'm on the hunt for a Telecaster. So I started thinking, what Telecaster should I buy? Do I rebuy a Baja? Do I get something else? I was looking at the Squire Esquires, things like that. And then I started thinking like, well, I mean, you know what? I really like the Telecaster. I'm not especially using the ES-175 on a lot of stuff at the moment. So I was like, well, what if I sell the ES-175 and I buy a really nice Telecaster? So that was one of the options. I did also consider the Reverend Buckshot. Have you seen the Buckshots? It's the Telecaster style guitar, not in a Telecaster body shape. So it's the Reverend's own sort of rounder, single cut body shape, but it has like a Gretsch style sort of, you know, TV Jones style pickup in the neck, and then Tele pickup in the bridge, but with a stop tail bridge. So it's kind of a little bit of everything. And they're very, very nice. You can also get it in like a gloss black with binding and a torque guard and a roasted maple neck. And I will say the neck is the thing that I'm very much enjoying on the Greg Koch that's here. So I was thinking about that, but then I was like, but I only really like old guitars. Maybe I should just do that. So I started looking around at Fender Custom Shops. Why didn't anyone tell me that Fender Custom Shops have got so expensive? I thought they were like $2,000, $2,500. They're like $3,500 now.
They've also never been that much money.
Yeah, okay. I can't remember. When I worked at GAC, I was mostly drunk. So I assume I was accidentally selling those custom shops for £1,000 less than they were.
Oh, yeah. That's the cost price.
But yeah, so I started looking around at some custom shops to see what was there. And I started looking around at some old guitars. And guys, I want your opinion. So if everyone can just, you know, be in the little chat that we've got open, I've just posted you all a link.
This is great radio. I love it.
Yeah, well, you just got to click on a link. It won't take a second. So, you know, click that. What do you think? So I'm thinking, dear listener, about this 1978 blonde Telecaster.
That looks great. Really good.
Do you think 1978 is a good year? Is
that good? That's exactly the year that I had a guitar from. And to be honest, it wasn't a great telly. It was fine. Right. I mean, I miss it because I had a bit of a sort of connection with it and used it to write loads of stuff back in the day when I was in my early 20s. But it's not the best year for tellies. Like, it's
not, is
fine.
It? No.
I mean, I would say if you want like a practical guitar to like buy and use, get something fairly modern because
from the 2010s or the 2020s.
No. Can I not get an old one? You don't think I should get an old one?
1980s Elite Strat. Or the Elite Telly.
I did think about the old Elite Telly.
No. That's what you want.
The best thing I could find from sort of the modern tellies is that Fender actually released a limited edition American Pro Ash Telecaster in burgundy mist with a solid rosewood neck.
Yeah, I bet that'd be really nice.
They go for about £1,700, which isn't, you know, really the end of the world for something with such a unique neck. Downsides, perloid plate, but that can be changed. You know, so that's my modern option. But then, you know, I was just looking around for something older.
I don't think that telly's very nice. The one that you pulled up. I'm not a fan of blonde. So what Joe has brought up.
Let's describe it for the listeners.
Yeah. Essentially, it's the classic Fender Telecaster. It's what you think of when someone says Telecaster. So it's no caster blonde, black guard, two single coils, but it's got a rosewood. It's got rosewood board. It doesn't look right to me. It doesn't look right to me.
I would rather maybe.
Also, that the shape is weird. Like, it looks weird. It looks like a proper Friday afternoon job.
Yeah, I always think... Sorry,
go
Jay,
on,
you go.
Go on, Matty, you go.
I think there might be a delay on the audio feed. I was going to say, those 70s ones always, to me, look overly rounded.
Yeah,
they just look like everything is just like...
Really?
It's almost like no one wanted to hurt themselves on the top part of a telly. So they were like, we better make sure we really make sure the edges are rounded.
So the one I had, Matty, just to explain that a little bit, on the one that I had, the lacquer was so thick on it that, yeah, it looked like it had been like dipped in something. You know what I mean? Like it was weird. It was much chunkier than you would imagine a telly to be. And it was purely down to the fact that the lacquer was the top coat, you know, like I said earlier, you know, it had a poly base coat, but then the layers of black lacquer above that were so thick that, yeah, it almost lost the telly shape. It was weird. And it's from the same year as this one.
It doesn't look like the right shape to me. I'm sure it's legit, but I just think it was made on a Friday afternoon and they just wanted to get to the pub. That's what it seems like to me. Just, but yeah,
I do. There is a custom shop option that I'm considering, which again I've popped a little link there for you guys to click on, and it's an Esquire rather than a Telecaster. And again, it is a rosewood neck, and yes, Jay, I would prefer like a really dirty used maple neck, but I've really struggled to find like a premium, you know, either custom shop or old telly with a maple neck for less than £3,500.
No one's selling, they're too good.
Well, yeah, that may well be the case. Admittedly, that ES175 is worth about $4,000. So, you know, I could stretch to more for the telly, but I'm loath to spend more than £2,500 on a bolt-on, but...
Guitar Nerds is brought to you in association with Faith Guitars. Based right here in the UK, Faith Guitars are designed by British guitar luthier Patrick James Eggle, who has been hand-building guitars for decades for some of the biggest names in the business. Founded in 2002, Faith Guitars have been voted the UK's best acoustic guitars 5 times in a row by both the public and panels of music industry experts, so you can be confident in your new Faith guitar. Like all quality acoustics, Faith guitars are made of all solid tone wood, so you can be sure they'll start off sounding great and improve year on year. Faith don't use laminated woods, but you'll be pleased to know that despite the all solid tone woods, the superb specification and handmade construction, Faith guitars are still affordable, with prices starting at around £450 or $600. Discover the range at faithguitars.com and then visit one of the many UK or European retailers to try them for yourself. But hold up! If you're in the USA or Canada, you can buy direct at faithguitarsusa.com, and by using the coupon code NERDS at the checkout, you can get an exclusive 10% discount. So, in the UK and Europe, check out the guitars at your local dealer or faithguitars.com. But for North American listeners, buy direct at faithguitarsusa.com and use the coupon code NERDS for a special 10% off at the checkout. That's USA coupon code NERDS at the checkout. Faith Guitars, award-winning acoustics designed right here in the UK.
One of the most popular Ernie Ball Music Man models, the John Petrucci Majesty, is being expanded with four brand new striking finishes, now offered in Pink Sand, Red Phoenix, Smoked Pearl, and Ember Glow. The 2020 Majesty features a lightweight Akume body, signature DiMarzio Rainmaker and Dreamcatcher pickups, and an onboard piezo bridge system that gives the guitar a focused and highly versatile palette of tones. Head to music-man.com to learn more. That's music-man. Now, back to the show.
The the sales platform that you've sent us to with one of these links looks like there's a great Roland G707 1980 silver in silver with matching G700 floor synth for only £1,600, which I would say is a much better buy and will probably suit you and your music far better because it not only has a horn, top horn, that extends past the body, but it also attaches to the headstock. So
what? Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, of course it does.
So why have a telly when you can plug into a Roland G700 synthesizer?
That is wonderful advice. And one of the things that I did think when I started going down this rabbit hole of, like, do I spend a lot of money on a used Fender? I'm in a bit of a Fender kick at the moment. Whilst I was going down that line, I did discover late 70s Antigua hardtail Fender Stratocaster.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Sounds amazing. I'm into that totally.
Hardtail strats, they all weighed a ton. And Antigua Burst. And there were a number of them, all on, various sort of secondhand sites. For a reasonable sum of money, like between £1,500 and £2,000, you can get
that
an Antigua Stratocaster.
Yes.
I've had the pleasure of playing at least two of those Antigua hardtails. And
what do you think?
One of them, fantastic. In true 70s fashion, the other one, a dog.
That's the risk, isn't it? That's the risk of going 70s Fender.
Yeah. It's and like I said, that telly that I had was not a great guitar, although I feel nostalgic about it, but some 70 stuff, exactly the same year, exactly the same color, everything the same, fantastic. Some of it not great.
It's the problem, isn't it? I think if I go vintage, I almost need to go the latest you can probably go is 1969 with Fender.
I don't think that's true. I think it's just with those guitars is that they're so individual and they're so different. You've just got to try them. Like, and it's the same with the 60s stuff as well. Some of the 60s stuff you see are real hounds. But like, Matt, you had that 70s telly and that 72. Wasn't very good.
Yeah, 72, which that 78 reminds me exactly of the one that I had.
I was thinking about that at the time.
Why don't you go down the route of like Greco or some of the sort of much older sort of Japanese brands.
They did, there's definitely some fantastic stuff, and I'll probably find a gem if I go down that route. I was just thinking, of the amount of money I have tied up in guitars, and more as to be honest, when I played guitar just a little bit, it was totally fine that the guitar I had was 100% for looks, which is what the ES-175 is. But as I start to play guitar more and more, and play guitar more seriously, and want to play guitar in projects and bands and stuff, I kind of require a guitar that does the job as well as has the looks. And I've just found that I seem to be erring more to, if I'm considering the amount of instruments I'm surrounded by every day, sort of the 40 plus guitars I have in this room around me, I'm tending to, if I just want something to sound good, if I'm not thinking about how stuff is looking or anything like that, if I just want a record or a piece to sound good, I pick up a Telecaster.
Why don't you just get the ultimate workman's guitar, which I was going to say Bohartelli, but not that. Why don't you get just like a 2008 American Standard telly in like natural maple.
No, 2012. Because 2012 is when it gets good.
Gloss necks. I have to have gloss necks. Yeah. Or roasted. I can stand the roasted on the.
Why don't you just play it more and then it'll go glossy?
Yeah. No. It has to be custom shop or old. Okay. It's got to be one of those two things. Or
one old custom shop.
I could find an alternative brand, like a tea-style brand that makes something, you know, interesting and good. I could look down that route. I'm just, you know, I'm kind of, I tend to be sort of that, like, if I want to play a Telecaster, I kind of want to play a Fender, you know. But
which is weird, considering, you know, your day job.
What's my day job?
Flogging.
Playing Japanese.
I mean, I'm going to let you finish the sentence, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, thank you, everyone. Thank you for your advice today. I'm going to continue on this hunt for the ultimate Telecaster. I'm sure it exists. I guess I was just disappointed today when I thought I was going to be met by pages and pages of incredible vintage guitars to find that I was kind of priced out by the Telecaster, which, you know, I guess whilst I'm saying, oh yes, I do think the Telecaster is the ultimate guitar, I'm very surprised that for, well, not surprised, I guess I knew the price tag, I'm surprised that I'm looking at the same amount of money for a good Tele as I am for a custom shop ES175, when you think about the workmanship that goes, the time involved in making an ES175.
Yeah,
in
but it's down to demand, though. I mean, compare that custom shop Tele with a custom shop, you know, 345 or whatever, you know, the 335 style guitars that are way more popular. You know, I can't imagine they take more or less work than your 175, but they're usually a lot more expensive because more people want to buy them.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I guess that is the, case. I might grow out of this in a week and keep the 175, but I don't know.
Doesn't sound like you, Joe. You're a man of strong convictions.
I can't imagine you growing at all, Joe.
That's the thing that whenever anyone says that Joe Branton, what's he like? And I'm like, I tell you one thing. He never bloody changes his mind.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
That's the thing about Joe Branton, honestly.
Yeah, that is me. Anyway, moving on from my Telecaster infatuation, Shagpile Deluxe?
Indeed. I'll take this one. So a pedal that I've discovered in my 2 weeks off from a company that I've not actually heard of before. And I just wanted to shout it out because I thought it was very, very cool. The Bluff Chill Devices Shagpile Deluxe. Now, Bluff Chill are a UK company building sort of like short runs, limited runs of pedals. Some of them are their own design. Some of them are kind of clone style things. And the one that really stood out to me was the reason that I actually discovered the company was the Shagpile Deluxe. The Shagpile Deluxe is described as a lo-fi double tracking pedal. Basically what it is, it's like the ultimate ambient pedal. You've got four rotary controls and a switch. So you've got tracking, which is delay time, flutter, which controls the strength of the envelope follower, mix is your wet-dry control, and then feedback basically is your feedback control. You've also got then got the mode switch, which allows the, they describe it as, allows the wobble to be re-triggered by each repeat. So I guess it's like feeding the delay back into the modulation. And if you want something that sounds like kind of chill wave, I guess, that is how I would
describe
it. You
don't know what that is.
Yeah, I do. It's like...
You don't know what that
it's
means.
It's like Macintosh Plus and that, isn't it? I know about music.
You've been on the front page of Reddit and you've seen someone talking about... You don't know what chill wave is.
When it was still possible to listen to it, I listened to that Macintosh Plus album a lot. It was good.
Lo-fi chill hop beats to... Study 2, Volume 5.
Exactly that. Spotify. Yeah, I listen to a lot of beats to relax and study to. But yeah, this pedal is awesome. And he makes a bunch of other cool stuff as well. It looks like, from the website, the only current pedals are Shagpile Deluxe, the Higher Ground Treble Boost, which is, hang on, let me just pull this up. Germanium Treble Boost, like classic Range Master. The Robo Dog, which is a octave down synth, which is really, really impressive, Matt. I think you'd be really into it.
I think the Bat Box, their Germanium Fuzz, I think what's great is no power, no LEDs, and then you have to put some AA batteries in the top.
Yeah.
AA batteries on the top.
That sounds awesome.
Two AAs that clip into the front of the pedal.
What, like a torch?
Yeah, basically, yeah. But that looks to be sold out. It looks to be sold out at the moment, but from what I understand, you can basically get anything made, so I'm sure he'd make some more. The only other one that looks like it's current right now is the Ectoverb, which is described as a ghostly space reverb. All the stuff is very much built with that kind of noise ambient in mind. And the great thing is, they're no money. The ghostly space reverb is £89. The Shagpile Deluxe, which is the most expensive pedal, I believe, is £109. And I don't think right now, like if you were to buy the Shagpile Deluxe and the Robo Dog, which I think are the two most interesting pedals, you'd be spending less than £200, and they are both absolutely wicked. £109. That I'm throwing it out there. That is the best £109 you can spend on a pedal right now.
I like the fact that he does a mystery fuzz, £59, and you can be guaranteed that it is built by hand, contains some mystery NOS components, sounds amazing, tried and tested. Based on one of these classic pedals.
That's cool.
Either Tonebender, Fuzzface, FZ1, or the Harmonic Percolator, among others. Most likely Germanium. It's totally unique and one-off. It's worth way more than £59.
That is
Joe,
awesome.
You've got a fella that you can pay £59 to and they give you some sort of mystery product, don't you?
Yeah. Well, £59. You've got to be round on the... It's notes only. So,
oh, okay, yeah. Gotcha. Okay, yeah, yeah.
There's no pound coin coming back to you there.
Yes. Anyway, that does sound awesome. I want to spend £60 on a mystery fuzz. I think I just want to get lots of harmonic percolators
and chain them all together. But yeah, like I said, Bluff Chill Devices, check them out. The Shagpile Deluxe, I think, I don't even know if it came out this year. There's not enough information for me to know whether or not, but you know, potential gear of the year.
Yeah,
I'm absolutely saying it now.
Oh yeah, I mean, very, very cool. We will definitely get in touch with them and get hold of some of their bits and bobs over the next few weeks. Pedals. Sorry. Goodness. Anyway, I guess without further ado, we haven't done any for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that, we should do some news. First up on the news, Mark Packham. I'm going to be aiming at you.
Oh no, I haven't read it properly. Can we get someone else?
Well, we can indeed. We can indeed. Jay Cross. Why don't we talk to you?
I hope you're going to talk to me about the very cool thing that you've given me to talk about.
Why don't you pick what you're going to talk about? Because evidently, everyone has only read selected news items.
I've been off for two weeks. I've forgotten how this works.
That's totally fine, Mark Peckham. I don't hold it against you at all. Jay Cross, why don't you tell me about whatever news item you've been allocated that you want to talk about?
I'm going to say the word eventide to you, and then I'm going to say the word power to you, and then I'm going to suffix that with either mini EXP or max rev 2. That's right. Eventide have released 3 new power supplies.
Oh, God.
Which, as we all know, is the best part of any rig. And yeah, these look really good. So the power mini is a very... very small power supply, which runs you've got 2 outputs at 9 volt DC, 660 milliamps, which is a lot, and then 2 other outputs which you can switch 9, 12, 15 or 18, also running at 660. Now, I don't think there's anything that does that.
Considering its size, it's tiny. And I know it's only 4 outputs, but those are 4 great outputs. For what it's worth, you can daisy chain off of those outputs quite easily.
Yeah,
and
it's now
very
you know,
small.
Matty, what's the power rating of the H9? Do you know offhand?
It's not going to be more than 400, surely.
I think it's
about 500, but it's center pin positive.
That doesn't make sense, surely
this is designed to power
those. It'll just be a different plug on the end.
It'll just be a different adapter. Yeah, of course. Yeah, okay. But yeah, so this is these will inevitably be designed to run those is the H9, because I think the H9 is 500 or something.
And yeah, it's something around that.
There's just so few things that will power it, especially with so many people using multiple H9s at the moment. Having a power supply that will allow you to run multiple is pretty rare, you know.
The only other power supply that I think comes close to this on the market is the Strymon.
The
Zuma.
The
Zuma has 9 500 milliamp outputs. Yeah.
The OJ. Yeah.
The Ojai is what it is.
Yeah,
or
I remember.
Something like that. We went through this.
Yeah, okay.
OJ, you were talking to me. So then there's the Power Max Rev 2, which obviously replaces the existing Power Max, so that you've got all the outputs that you want. So I think there's 7 outputs on that, then you've also got the Power Mini EXP, which is the expander kit for the Power Max Rev 2, and that is the same as the Power Mini, but you are able to connect it to the Power Max.
Yeah, I think
so.
That's
chain off similarly, like the Zuma and the Ojai.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing that all power supplies need to do. Really, I mean, I use the Gig Rig one, which is expandable. I think the Strymon one's great because once you're you don't want to be in a situation where you've bought like a Voodoo Labs Mondo. It's got 12 outputs, and then you're like, oh, sort of need to. Because the way that the Voodoo Labs one worked, you had to buy a male to female IEC cable, and then physically use the outlet to that. And it's like you might as well just use a tiny normal connector. So I think it's way better to do it this way, and it just means it frees up space on your pedal board and ultimately probably works out a bit cheaper with cleaner power supply output to your pedals. I think this is great.
I think these are really good. I think they look very cool. I haven't seen a price anywhere, so I'm not sure how much they all are, but I'm just gonna Google it right now. So the Power Max V2 is £260, there or thereabouts, which seems to be about the sort of price that you would expect to pay for an 7 output power supply of this kind of quality. Power Mini, can't find a price. Oh yeah, £120 for the Power Mini EXP. So the standard Power Mini will be similar sort of money. So yeah, you know, it's as with all things, it's it seems like a lot of money, but these things are expensive. You know, if you want to pay stuff properly, if you're running that kind of super high fidelity gear, then you just unfortunately got to spend the money. I say unfortunately, it's not unfortunate at all, because power supplies, as we all know, are very cool.
I think as we always said, it's probably one of the most boring things you can spend your money on, but once you buy a good one, that's what you need. Don't say that to him. You've started him off.
You bite your tongue, mate.
Jay, I've heard you say that out of your own mouth.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. No, it is. They're just not very sexy, but they are interesting and they are cool. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Jay Cross said so.
You did say so, it's true. Now, another cool thing that's come out this week, which in fact we have been sent, and I have it on authority, that this we might have one of the first ones in the UK to have a Butcher's app, to have a demo playthrough, is the Dark Glass Elements. Now, the Dark Glass Element is a headphone amplifier, but it's like a whole new grade of headphone amplifier. So for a start, just to make it incredibly cool, everything on it's touch controlled. So it's all like, so you've got all the sliders and the single button there's no buttons on it. It's all like, ooh, touch sensitive, which I think is very cool. It's very premium.
That's wicked.
Yeah, it's very cool. And I mean, that's something that is not kind of unique to this pedal for Dark Glass. They introduced this on one of their compressors, on the Hyper Luminal compressor. Had the sort of that like minimal plain surface and no controls or anything. So the Element, whilst Dark Glass, I guess, you know, listener, you're thinking Dark Glass are a bass brand, but this is actually suitable for guitar or bass. And it's a headphone amp kind of with a difference, because you can use it in several different ways. It's got a handful of inputs. So you could just run straight from your guitar through your pedal board straight into the Element. And then you can choose. It's got a lovely, clean preamp built in there, whether it's a guitar or bass that you're running through. And then you've got 5 cab sims. It's also Bluetooth connective, so you can play backing tracks along with it. But also, if those cab sims are not to your fancy, you can actually access the Dark Glass suite via its USB connectivity, and you can switch those up and you can choose new cab sims, which is very, very cool.
That all comes included in the price.
Yeah, that's all kind of as standard with it. But what's quite cool is, you know, just plugging straight into it isn't your only option. You can use it straight out of your cab into the unit, or you can use it straight out of your head, provided it's not a valve head, because it's not a load box as such. So if you've got a Class D, so I guess that applies maybe slightly more to bass players, and you can access the cab sims off of there. But it's just an incredibly versatile unit, which is, you know, built to Dark Glass's, you know, Finnish high standard. It's a very cool preamp with some really high quality IRs kind of built in. I just think it's normally when you get headphone amplifiers, they're sort of built to a really basic standard. And this is the first one I've come across that has been like, this is a premium product. This is a premium headphone amp for sort of home use. And I'm very into it for that reason.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's an increased amount of products like this that you can put on your pedal board. So if you're at home, you can just plug headphones in, or you could take it into a gig and then send a separate output to you know, whoever's doing sound. I just think that's just great. I think the design of everything that Dark Glass does just looks brilliant.
It looks so good. Dark Glass are one of those companies that, one of few companies, I think, in the guitar world. The guitar, everything in guitars is kind of, it has its own look that is separate from time, as it were. And Dark Glass is one of those few companies that is very modern. You know, it's like, this is in line with the fact that we're in the year 2020. You know, everything Dark Glass does looks like an Apple product. You know, it's very modern, very sleek.
But it's better than that. It's more than that, though, as well, isn't it? Because, like, lots of companies make stuff that are Apple product-esque. And it's just that doesn't appeal to me, you know, other than like my phone or a computer or something.
Right.
I don't want a coffee machine that looks like it's been made by Apple. I don't want I don't want a clock that looks like it's been made by Apple. But this looks really good. I don't think saying, oh, you know, it looks like it's made by Apple, that kind of sounds like it's selling itself short to me. It just looks like very modern in a like very individualistic way. I think the dark glass, like you, I think the dark glass stuff is really cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I think everything they do. And also it's like, it's very understated because, you know, some of the stuff is just so raucous and nasty sounding, and it comes from such like a pretty looking box, you know what I mean? It's a pretty mad company.
Yeah, it's very cool. But also, I guess, I forgot to mention that we're recording this, guys, ahead of this product's release, because it is due for release on the 8th, despite what other websites might have leaked up until now. So this is the first day of the official release of the Dark Glass Element. So a very cool product. And, you know,
and this podcast listeners... go out early.
No, it's fine. It's totally fine.
I mean, I can already see several articles about it on the internet, so I think
yeah, exactly. It's definitely been.
Well, you know, if everyone else is breaking the embargo, then it's fine, right? Oh,
Well. And anyway, okay, let's move on. Mark, I'm going to give you a little bit more time.
No, it's all right. Matt, I can do it now. I can read it now. It's fine. I want to read it now.
Do you? Because I'm not sure I want you to just read something without, you know, really knowing what you're talking about.
Why do you think I haven't spoken for the last 10 minutes? Because I've been reading.
Okay, Mark, talk, because I've actually given you a really cool piece of news.
Yeah, this is actually really good, which is why I wanted to do it now, just to make sure we definitely talk about it, because it's also, there's a timed element to it as well. So, Greek company Jam Pedals have announced a brand new charitable project called Lending a Hand. What they have done is they've produced limited edition versions of 15 of their pedals. And they're in like a special gold finish, and they all kind of tie in together in a sort of aesthetic way. And there's 15 pedals, 15 models. There's 10 of each. And the key thing is that each one of them has been each product type has been, or the 10 of each of them have been signed by a particular artist. So I actually don't have who's signed what here, but I can tell you who the artists are. So it's Nels Klein, Graham Coxon, Bill Frizzell, Julian Large. I don't know who that is, but
yes.
Sean Ono Lennon, Steve Lukather, Jay Maskus, Lee Ronaldo, Niall Rogers, Richie Sambora, Neil Sean, John Schofield, Alex Skolnick, Andy Timmons, and David Torn. And so yeah, they've picked, you know, like one of the pedals each and then signed the 10 of those. And the way they're kind of selling these and the way they're doing the charitable stuff is really, really interesting. So if you go to jampedals.com/lending-a-hand, basically the higher donation you put in, the more chance you have of getting one. So it's like basically the 150 top donations, I think this is how it's worded a bit confusingly, but it explains it more on the site. Like the 150 top donations will get one of the pedals. And that's between 21st of June, which is obviously passed, right up until the 12th of July, which is next week. And yeah, basically, if you put in a high donation, you've got a chance of getting one of these pedals. And all the money is going to a range of charities supporting musicians who are obviously out of work because of COVID-19. So the charities are Music Cares, Jazz Coalition, Jazz Foundation, New Music USA, Crew Nation, and the Northern Greece Musicians Union. Yeah, a really cool thing to be doing. The pedals look great as well because they've got this like special edition gold finish to them, and the Jam artwork in general is really good.
Sorry, Mark, just to add on to that, for the artists, if you go to the website, go to Lending a Hand, it tells you which artists have signed which pedals, and it's also given a minimum bid amount to stop people going like, oh yeah, those look cool, I'll put in $10.
Yeah.
They're just like, look, be serious about this. But yeah, you and I think all the artists have done a little video using the pedals as well, which is very cool.
Yeah, it's everything on there looks, it's just super cool. You know, there's been a few people doing these projects to support musicians in the music industry, and for me, this is the one that has stood out the most. This is really cool. Like it a lot.
It is very cool. I love jam pedals. They are totally awesome. When my you know, jam pedals are a brand that we, when we all worked at GAC, I think they were, as Matt, you and me talked about jam pedals quite a lot when we did our Patreon series, The Pedals That Made Us.
Yeah.
They were one of the first boutique brands that we got in at GAC. They were, for me, the first ever pedal brand I'd seen that were, like, you know, hand-painted and stuff. I'd never seen pedals looking that DIY before. They were, you know, extremely cool. But also, my sort of fondest memory of jam pedals is actually when we had one order in he did like an Ampeg session. Do you remember? I can't remember how many of us actually worked there when we had him.
I wasn't there at the time.
I was there when he did a Earthquaker.
It was Earthquaker and Ampeg. It was a few brands all together. So we were giving away Ampeg pedals. I think that's why I said Ampeg. But you're right, it was Earthquaker as the main one. I think we gave away some mono stuff as well. But he'd obviously arrived earlier in the day and was checking out the shop, and he wanted to try some pedals, and he'd never seen or heard of jam pedals. And so we got all of the jam pedals out of the cupboard, and he was playing with all of those. And I think, what was the chorus called? Because he absolutely loved that.
The waterfall's amazing. Yeah. That we've talked about that a lot, and it's
fantastic.
I think, they're definitely a brand we need to talk more about. I think what's one thing that's great, obviously, I think a lot of people saw that at NAMM they did the Pink Flow. I think we talked about it on the podcast, which is 5 or 6 of their pedals in one enclosure. You can actually go to their website and build your own custom multi-pedal. So it's not just a limited thing they do. You can go up to 20 pedals.
Holy moly.
in one enclosure. So you can select, I mean, if you really wanted to, you could have 20 of the same, I guess.
Can you tier it, or does it have to be in a line?
It's tiered, yeah. So 3XL 2-tier, 15 to 20 pedals. 2XL 2-tier, 11 to 14. XL 2-tier, 7 to 11. Large 4 to 7, medium 3 to 4, or small 2 to 3.
Is the medium?
They don't give you prices because I think it depends on what pedals you put in it. All analog, you can add in things like A-B switches, send and return jacks. You can add a TU3 as well if you want. They put the screen in there for you.
Oh, my goodness. This sounds
like
a dream.
All your own artwork.
I could have my face on it.
So, yeah, you could. Maybe we scrap mod mode. And we have a Guitar Nerds multi pedal, and we just put our faces on it. There's some examples of what they've done, and again, great artwork, just amazing. That's something that I personally would love to own. It's ridiculous, but I just think it's wicked. Like, just go to the website and have a look at some of the stuff.
Let's get one after this podcast. Let's get one.
Yeah, you pay, and I'm in.
All right. Sounds good to me. Now, Matt Knight, I do want to come to you for a bit of news before we round up the podcast today. You've got several things that you could talk about. I'd love to talk about the first thing on your list, but it's up to you.
Yeah, okay. The Solar guitars.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Solar from Ola. So I'm sure a few people listen to the podcast know who Ola England is. I remember when we had him in the shop for an in-store for Washburn. I think he was probably only I think he might have been less than 100,000 people subscribed to his YouTube channel at that point. Still sort of in the niche realms, but definitely building a bit of a following. Obviously, he plays for a couple of really big sort of death metal bands. His YouTube channel, I think he's on like nearly 700,000 people now. And obviously a great platform to launch his brand, Solar Guitars. And what's great is these are sort of Far Eastern builds. They've got 5 different body shapes now. Type A, Type E, Type G, Type S, Type V. And what they do is they do it in limited runs. So the body shapes are always the same, but the spec differences and the colours vary per run. They get announced on his website. They go to some select dealers, and then once they're gone, they are gone.
It's a great way to run a business.
Absolutely. I think it's great. I mean, even since we put the news up last week, they've actually just added another one, the GC1 Killer Tone model, which is like a flame-topped single cut with custom inlays. But the one I really want to talk about is I really like the Type A. So the Type A is kind of like a super strat. It basically looks exactly like his old Washburn Solar. So you've got the kind of enhanced cutaways. One of the ones that's available at the moment is the A26FRPN, which is pink neon matte. So fully pink neon headstock. That is me. neon pink headstock, all back of the neck. The whole thing, apart from the fretboard, is neon pink. Looks absolutely incredible. Floyd Rose Bridge. This particular model is through neck. But what they have also announced is they have done a bolt-on one as well. So they're slightly cheaper. Although I must admit, for the money, just running through the specs here, obviously you've got the neon pink finish, locking machine heads, 25.5 scale, super jumbo frets, custom inlays, Duncan Solar pickups. So you've got proper Seymour Duncans in there, proper Floyd Rose, set through dual action truss rod, and it comes in at €749.
How are they doing it? I have to say, I'm loving the bolt on just for the fact that you can get the maple neck, and I think the unfinished headstock looks fantastic.
Yeah,
as well.
I think what's great, and I was talking to Ola about this, is it's built and designed in such a way that, you know, if you're a real fan of the brand and of Ola and you love the guitars, that they're all limited run, so you know, you might never get that one again. So they've got people that are like collecting them, and they're great value for money. They do 6, 7, and 8 strings. And he was like, going back 2 years now, but he's saying that some of the people, he's had some customers have bought like 10 or more because they keep doing different ones, different colors, different specs. You know, you might see one you really like in a 8 string, and a couple months later, it might come up in a 6 string. You know, you might see one 6 string that's a bolt on neck, then you might see a set neck one. You know, I think it's
these
wicked.
Are gorgeous modern guitars.
Yeah, they are.
Solar are nailing it at the moment for looks and, you know, versus spec and everything and price.
Absolutely. I think we talked quite highly about the Washburn Solar and Gear of the Year maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And just great guitars, really well built. When he left Washburn, he owned the Solar name and the body shape design and everything, and I think it's great, and it takes on a lot of community feedback from the group and what people want, and they rarely go above, I mean, yes, you know, they go anywhere from sort of 699 to about 1349 euros, but then, you know, they don't go much higher than that, so I think you get a lot of guitar for your money.
Yeah absolutely,
absolutely.
Yes, they are completely fantastic guitars, and as far as modern guitars go, they are incredibly highly rated by guitar nerds, and we appreciate that we all end up being quite traditionalists when it comes to guitars. So
I must admit, looking at the neon pink, a lot of them are shipping in August. Some dealers have similar stock of the neon pink one, €699. I gotta say, I was like, this is the one modern guitar I would definitely play. And I don't think you necessarily have to be like massively into metal to really, you know, enjoy it. I think maybe the pickups might be a tad on the hot side, obviously designed for some of that stuff. But
there's
I think
nothing
actually
wrong with
even
the hot pickup though.
Even at $699, if you just wanted an awesome looking guitar, especially a neon pink one, you could put whatever you wanted in it.
Get it bought, Matty. Get one bought.
I am seriously tempted. I think it looks absolutely wicked. It reminds me of that St. Vincent that came out in the same colour. Yeah, it's proper neon pink. So, yeah.
Very cool indeed.
Someone buy it before I have to.
You should buy it. Buy it, Matt. Buy it now.
Okay.
Now, we're drawing to the end of this week's free episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. You can, of course, listen to an entire extra episode of Guitar Nerds every week over on our Patreon site, patreon.com/guitar nerds. You can also find that in the description of this episode. This week, our Patreon episode is the third in our new series, The 1979 Club. It's my solo series where we're counting, where I'm taking a look at five vintage instruments that you can purchase right now from the internet. And this week, every week obviously has a theme. This week I'm covering weird Fenders, so odd Fenders, unusual Fenders. My overarching theme with this has been... has tried to be that I'm picking guitars that I think people could buy without being completely obsessed with them, you know, ergo I'm trying to find instruments for less than sort of £2,000-£2,500, you know, that are vintage. So you know, tune in and listen to me count down some weird Fenders this week. To become a Patreon supporter, it costs only $1 a month, and you can enjoy the podcast ad-free and early every week. At the $5 tier, you can enjoy an extra episode every week, plus access to the entire back catalogue of mini-series and the original Friday specials. You've got Mark's series on the Beatles, Gear There and Everywhere, Matt and my series on the pedals that made us, and of course years of Patreon specials and everything else that we've done. And at the $10 tier, you can become an executive producer and enjoy all those benefits, plus the prestigious honor of having your name featured in our podcast outro song. Yeah. So you can follow us on all the major social platforms with @GuitarNerds and join us on our Facebook community with facebook.com/groups/GuitarNerdsForum. Thanks very much for tuning in, dear listener. We'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Bye-bye.
Cheers,
take
gang.
It easy.
You said that all at once. Well done.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.